I appreciate the opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm setting this so when it rings, either I should finish preaching or the muffins are done. One of those two things. I'm amazed today, and I'm very, very grateful. I'm just moving, so I've got a little bit of a runway. There we go. I'm thanking the Lord for the opportunity to celebrate as believers on this day, as we are remembering as a nation Vimy Ridge. Thank you. I somehow feel we need to clap and cheer again. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that. It's an interesting morning for me because Brother Jack could tell you I would love to just take off and preach about, I would be fine to do that. Who else just wanted to break into the national anthem there? Amen, amen. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for what's transpiring right now. Huh, in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. I wouldn't mind saying that again. Something is transpiring in the heavenlies right now. The other thing that I would love to do is just go right with you and preach about Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. I love Easter. I would take a pass on Christmas if I had to choose, but I love Easter. Woo! And I'm not from a Christian home. I'm not from a Christian background, but Jesus found his way to our house, and the local church is why. That's the vehicle he used. So I bless you as you have gathered together today, and I thank God for all over Hamilton today. The church is in session. Hallelujah. So I would love to just talk about, you know, what happens when Jesus comes into town. But the Lord seemed to have another idea. And I've learned a long time ago that I would rather get on his page than try to coerce him onto mine. So I'm going there with you this morning. But I do want to mention the books. I particularly want to invite you to sign up for Hear the Sound. I think now I'm remembering when we were together at WOW, which now is WOW a while ago, I remember that your Pastor Joy, she scolded me that she did not get Hear the Sound. And so we took care of that. She signed up and I did my work. And it's not a newsletter. It's a word of prophetic encouragement. And it's three paragraphs. It's not long. I can get quite a bit into three paragraphs, though. I do confess to that. But please sign up today. And if I get my work done, the next one's coming out on the 15th on Saturday. So just to let you know that I'd be blessed to have you do that, whoever would like a copy of a compilation of a bunch of those, you could actually have that. So this isn't just like, move your head. You actually need to move your body and come get it. All right, that worked very, very well. All right, it's yours. Well, as you are turning to Luke chapter 10, let me tell you that it was really special. I need to move this one too, if I may. Just got to get the runway open. And yesterday morning, Holy Spirit just, so that's how I know that he is prepared today for you. He's prepared it for me too. I've already had some It wasn't the appetizer. I think I had the main dish last night. But I thank the Lord for Luke chapter 10. While you're turning there, and I'll land into verse 38 in just a moment. We have just gotten back from being overseas for 7 weeks, and we're not back quite a month yet. Jet lag is over. Heart lag prevails. I'm having trouble getting my heart home. But while you were worshiping this morning, it just stirred up so much in me to just make an announcement, to give you one window into a moment while we were overseas. And the announcement that I have for you today is that the church is alive and well. Not only is Christ alive and well, and that was a good word, as we were reminded twice actually this morning, that you can go to the grave of, you can go to those places of. I do remember, not on this trip, many years ago, we were in the Holy Land, we were in the garden, and the sepulcher, that's a word we say for Easter Sunday, the sepulcher is there, the grave is there. And I had heard testimonies about, you know, God saying phenomenal things to believers when they were in the garden tomb. And so I went in, and they told us kind of to hurry because there was a lot of people behind us. So I was trying to be courteous, you know, group sensitivity and all that. And so I went in and kind of dashed back out, and I thought, well, I didn't get mine. I didn't have any big, amazing, awesome moment. And just then a young lady from Saskatchewan that was on that same, we were actually on a prayer journey to the Holy Land. She was there, and she came, when she finished, she came over and she leaned down. She's tall, I'm not. She leaned down and she said, "He's not there." And that became my glorious moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's next week. And you know, you'll be celebrating that. You will. I know this crowd already. You'll be celebrating. But I want to get that wee little window into a moment while we were overseas. It's actually, if I'm careful, I won't tell you where we were, because it is, quote unquote, a limited access nation. But it was the most exciting experience. You could almost piece this whole together and go online and figure out where we were. But on Friday morning, that was the first big clue. Okay, on Friday morning, in a nation that is limited access, we were heading down the highway with those who were designated to pick us up, to get us to the service. And taking the right-hand exit, there's a big sign in that nation that says religious complex. You take that exit and you turn and then you drive in and whoa, there's a parking lot. The first thing you see is the parking lot. It is huge and it is full of cars. And then you get out and you begin to go with the herd. on in, and you suddenly look around and you realize, where am I? Because peoples of nations, and so the attire, there might be a sari that goes past you, a beautiful sari that walks by. Well, not sari doesn't. Someone wearing a sari walks by, and then you look over there, and there's someone that you think, are they Filipino? And then you go a little further, and you have to clear security. We did that, and then you make your way into a building that is fully authorized by the government of that nation, that has All Things Protestant. There's actually another building available to those of Catholic background. This building is All Things Protestant from 7 a.m. every Friday until 10 p.m. in two-hour slots. 89 congregations go through there. It is a brilliant plan of God. Who are those 89 congregations? They are contract workers. They are in that country. There are more contract workers than citizens in that country. The nation is so wealthy, I don't know if anybody within the nation works. I don't think they, if they sweat, it's just the weather. And it's an amazing, it is a brilliant plan of the Lord of the harvest. And the group that we were preaching for, we preached in two sessions that morning. Both of them were predominantly African. And out of that, it would be predominantly Nigerian. And as we were with them, I looked into their faces. Yes, some were Tanzania, some were Swaziland. Some hold significant positions of influence in the operational world of that nation. And there they are. And I looked into their faces and I thought, what a brilliant plan of God. I need us to know today, when he came out of that grave, he came out ready to build a church. Hallelujah. That the very gates of hell could not prevail against. So your brothers and sisters in that nation, by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and keep going, hundreds and hundreds, add zeros, those, they already did it on Friday. We're slow. We joined in this morning. And the church is alive and well. Hallelujah. The other thing that I want to celebrate is that this amazing God of ours, while he is majestic, while he is global, he is so preciously intimate. When you walk into Luke 10, you walk into a family. You actually are into a community. You're into a village, it says. This is not a metropolis. This, maybe you don't even need your GPS to figure out any addresses here. You just go into Bethany. But here's what your Bible says, that the Lord was in a certain village and he found a family. He found a household that later will be described as his friends. I actually believe the Lord has friends in Hamilton. For all that, I'm not preaching that this morning, but I'm giving the backstory because the story of that household will carry us all the way to the gates of Jerusalem. And what we know is Palm Sunday, which is marked on our calendars today. The backstory. Our God is good at details. He's good at details. He delights it. He's ornate in the details. And the word of God says in Luke 10 and verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home for him. Oh, those are easy words to read. No big hard ones to pronounce there. Those are easy words. Somebody opened the door and he took them up on the deal. Woo! What has become very important to me over the last several weeks is that when Martha opened that door, she actually had no idea what was going to transpire. I think that's my word for today, transpire. I leaned over to Jack as we had gathered here in this room this morning, and I remember a lot about being in this room the last time. It was Saturday, not Sunday. There were tables. It was the ladies. We were gathered. But I have no clue what I preached about, but I sure remember what happened afterwards. We drove, we left, and we said, well, we were living in Brampton at the time, and God had been stirring for months and months and said, you know, get ready and put our house on the market because God said to, and then our leadership at the church where we were attending said, you're early about this. We pulled our house off the market. That was a hard thing to do in obedience. We did it and waited. And by the way, we certainly, it was Pastor Sue's mom that came to me much later, and because she's in the realty world, she told me, she said, did you ever know that you're, when your duplex, when your semi sold, that you had one of the top prices? And no, we didn't. All we knew was God, we put it on. Leadership said, you're early. We pulled it off. And when we put it back on, because it was time, God had secured and honored obedience. But where to go? What was it? And we knew we were coming out to the Grimsby area, but we just didn't know a whole lot more except a wild and wonderful prophetic friend from Sri Lanka had been here. And she and her husband are great leaders there, and she's just a crazy gal. She's well camouflaged. You'd be around her for a while before you figured out just how phenomenally accurate she is prophetically. She just loves to laugh, loves to have fun, and is so accurate. And we had taken them for a drive. And when we drove just on some highway, because we didn't know the highways then, some road, she said, I think you need to check that place out. Now, if you tell me that, and I don't know you, I think, interesting. She knew, and I know her track record. So after months then had gone by, after breakfast with the ladies that morning, we did the drive. We got in, walked in, and there was no appeal. Total none. Zilch. Zero. It was like, oh. It's a good thing we had a good service here in the morning, because otherwise it was like, why did we bother, you know? And so we turned around and we just scratched our heads a few more times and said, you know, she's never missed one before, but that was weird. And we go back to Brampton and I fix dinner and I look and there's a pamphlet laying on our table. I said, Jack, where'd this come from? He said, I picked it up at that place we went into that we didn't like. I said, I never saw that. I didn't even see you carry it. Sneaky guy he is. And I said, look at it, look at it. And I looked at the cover. I said, I want to live there. And we do. And we have for 9 years. Woo! So I'm just I think it's fun to be back here. Martha had no clue. I want us to know today, if you'll allow the Spirit of God to do it, He wants to breathe that on you, that there's a whole lot more. And the back story matters to God. Your God is into preparation. Don't miss that either. We started going to Sri Lanka. That wasn't the nation that I spoke of. Going to Sri Lanka is nothing like that one. We started going there, it'll be 20 years ago, this coming December. We had no idea. The only reason we went there is one of the men in our missions department with our fellowship said, when you're in Asia, I think you should go to Sri Lanka. I said, great idea. Where is it? I didn't know where it was. He walked us over to a map on the wall, showed it to us. We flew in there. It was our first, we landed in Hong Kong overnight, but then flew in. And first of many nations that we visited that preached in that year, 97 into 98, had no idea. No idea for about the first 4 days until one day I was sitting there and Holy Ghost came on me. And I said to Jack, quietly back in our room, I said, if I'm hearing right, this has changed the rest of our life. Now, I can't even remember a day when I didn't know Sri Lankans. I can't remember when I didn't know the nation and could talk about Mullativu and New Aurelia and Jesus came through the door. They didn't even know what was ahead. Now, here's what I'd love to have happen. I wish somehow I could get into your head and hit a delete button as if you had never read this chapter before, because this one is so cliche driven. Are you a Mary or a Martha? I feel like God wants to say something else today. Uniquely, there's a lot of people that we see interacting with Jesus and we never hear about them again. Wouldn't you love to find out what happened to the guy that the little guy that gave Jesus his lunch? Wouldn't it just be interesting to know if blind Bartimaeus, who was no longer blind, if he was in the room when the Spirit fell on Pentecost? I mean, there's lots of stuff I'd like to know. With this group behind that door where Jesus came, we'll get three windows. I think that's on purpose of God. We don't get that about everybody, but it's good for us. If we are going to be involved with this amazing God, and we are, the backstory matters. Because that tells me that right now, today, Holy Spirit is, no, I don't expect to get in the car and drive down the road and come to another place that we'll buy. I have actually kind of told the Lord I really like where we are. But I do believe the backstory is being written right now in your life, my life, hugely. So there's two sisters. Lazarus is not home this day. Apparently, we don't read anything about him, but Mary and Martha, we meet them both. They are contrasting. I'll just say that much to get started. And it doesn't take us very far into this passage before we realize that one is in one room and one is in another room. Interesting, because Jesus didn't relegate them to either one. He didn't say, today I'm starting with M, M-A-R. However, T is out, Y, you know, Y is in. No, he didn't say, Mary, you and Martha, no. But we read about Mary, and usually we say she was worshiping. But when you read your Bible, she wasn't worshiping. She was at his feet. She will be three times at his feet. Only one of them Will she be worshiping by virtue of the statement? But every time something's happening when she is at his feet. The Word of God tells us in this first instance that she is at, sorry, Jack, I have to get your feet. Here I am rearranging many chairs. It's a good thing I'm not moving pews. And the Bible says exactly where she is and precisely what she's doing. She is sitting at Jesus' feet, and she is, your Bible says, listening. So, and something about this ticks Martha off hugely. Now, we assume it has something to do with the sandwiches. Because that's her argument. When she comes out of the kitchen, and I know she's the older sister because I'm the youngest, and I recognize that older sister tone. Yeah, her hand's like this. I know some of you can't see that, but she has one hand on her hip, I'm sure of it. Jesus, tell her to help me with the dishes, you know. If you are the older sister, sorry. That something's going on that makes her mad. Really, she's violating something here. What is it? Well, I'm glad this is being recorded. And after I leave, you have a fine pastoral team that will straighten you out. Only they can bother me with an email. But here's the deal. She's actually taking the posture of, well, I better give you the background. It's not uncommon for people to say, so where did you study? And they'll say McMaster's, or that's nearby, that's, you hear that. They'll say U of T, they'll mention something in Montreal, they'll speak in those terms. I went to Ryerson, and if we are answering the question of where we took our education, we probably are talking about an institution. It was not that way in Bible days. The institutional formations were teacher and learners. And so later in the book of Acts, when Paul lets us read a little bit of his resume, it says he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. That wasn't because they had no chairs. That was totally a commonly understood formation. The master teacher was clustered with those who came. And when they came, guess what they were doing? It was more than information. The master teacher was actually giving them, yeah, a worldview, but he was also imparting to them the ways that they would make their choices and live their lives. And guess what you called those people enrolled? Disciples. Huh. This is starting to feel a little bit churchy on us here. Disciples, and you were attached to a master teacher, and you know what they said? They said when they would run into somebody, they would watch how they did things, how they responded, and they said, aha, we can tell who your teacher was. In fact, the master teacher was being replicated by those sitting at his feet. It's called disciples. The reason I left this here is so I can get back up. And be careful how you quote me. Mary has taken the posture of a disciple. There's something wrong with that. Women had no access to the educational system that would be master teacher and followers. That was for men only. Jesus is really good at messing up social norms. He's really good at turning over tables. And that's the message I'm not preaching about what happens when Jesus comes to town. So lest you put it on Facebook that Peggy Kennedy spoke at our church and said there was a 13th disciple and it was a woman. That's exactly what's happening. Be careful how you quote me. And Martha was not comfortable with that. And Martha steams out of the kitchen and says, we will not have that going on in our family. And the King James is not nice here, so don't use the King James. The King James, you know, just kind of makes us think that Jesus growled when he answered. I don't think he growled. But he did say, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered, that's the King James one, I'll pull it, about many things. And that is a great Greek picture of the Greek language. Martha, you are dragging a line around that's got a lot of stuff tied on it. That's exactly the picture that Jesus was saying. He says, Mary made a choice too. And Mary, well, let's make sure we get it absolutely correct and not paraphrased. Mary has chosen, end of verse 42, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's red ink in my Bible because the words of Jesus are in red ink. I suggest to us that God was establishing a relationship, and Mary with him and him with Mary. And that relationship was called by God to be better. It was commended by God, but you know, there were lines in these songs that we sang this morning. Were powerful lines. And one of those lines in verses of Amazing Grace that we don't usually sing said, his word my hope secures. Jesus said, he's actually prophesying over her life. He's making a prophetic declaration. He said, you made a choice, and it is the better one, and it won't be taken from you. Now, the stakes do not seem too crucial. Nothing like Vimy Ridge, where thousands had already died, and farm boys from a faraway place, where they were, as CBC said this morning, where they'd been, if sleeping, sleeping the night before, was lice and rat infested and mud holes. And it was snowing when they heard that pistol fire and said, fire in the hole. And they went. And they did it. But the stakes don't seem that high at Mary and Martha's front room. But I suggest to us today that every person in this room who has intentionally chosen Jesus may or may not have had the celebration of those who really matter to you. I don't know if everybody else on the team did the happy dance. That was a great, great testimony. I don't know your stories, but we obviously, if we were writing this chapter, maybe we would say, "Woo!" You know, Mary came out and said, "I just put your name on the cake, Mary." Or Martha comes, "I just put your name on the cake, Mary. I am so excited for you because you've got a great future with him." No. I actually have totally enjoyed ministry and I love loving Jesus. Pastor Joe, I haven't had a lot of resistance. I don't know, if I did, I'd just been having such a good time I didn't notice. But I've actually had some of the people in my original, you know, in that Sunday school class when it was kids from the Sunday school that knocked on our door. "Got any kids here for Sunday school?" Mom said, "I got two and we got to go." I loved it. I mattered down at church. I loved church. Things were not good at our house. It was dysfunctional. It was bad at our house. And unpredictable. But I loved it down at church. And you know, two of my earliest memories of church, men prayed. My dad said some of the same words, but he wasn't praying. And women smelt good. Yeah. Women did not smell good at our house. But they smelt good down at church. And they would say, so I always sat as close as I could to the teacher, "Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Jehoshaphat." And I would practice. Come home. I used to always forget to turn the water faucet off. Dad would say, "Don't forget, because after the cows have drunk," we lived on a farm, obviously, "and somebody's got to turn, if you turned it on, the cows drink, you turn it off." That was boring. With my personality, little kid, like the little gal that took offering this morning, she would have trouble doing it too. I know that. I could tell. And so I stood on the community hall steps, which conveniently were right where I could see the cows drinking. And I would preach last Sunday's Sunday school lesson. "So, sir, when we get to heaven, if there is a loud low moo," that one's one of mine, okay? I know they made decisions those days. I know that. I loved church. I've had a lot of affirmation. I'm thankful for that. That may not be the story of everyone in the room. But Jesus said, even when those who matter to you are not going, "Wahoo, we're so proud of you." And there's other parts to the story. The day when God did send the lady to me at a camp meeting in Alberta. And she wrapped her arms around me. My mother had tried to kill me on the day of her attempt of suicide. And thank God, well, I'm here today, so you already know that first part didn't happen. Mother's life was spared. The bullet glanced off her forehead. She went to the mental hospital. I went to one grandma. My sister went to the other. It's illegal to kill your kids. She was never charged. Oh, that, if was that a direct word? Okay, I'm sorry. It just, you were near and I said it, okay? Don't blame me, okay? But that day when God sent that lady to me, she said, in the next few minutes, I'm going to be your mom. I said, no, you aren't. Except I was the night speaker, so you have to be nice if you're the night speaker. I said, no, you're not. I couldn't say that. So I'm going to be your mom. She began to prophetically minister to me. And the last thing she said was, and I'm so proud of you. I thought, man, I never heard that. Never heard that from that woman, because she died of a disease when I was 11. And my dad just kind of forgot to say stuff like that. So it won't be taken away from us, even when the very voices that we would love to just pull it up, we'd love to just reach in and say, just say what I would love to hear from you. Let it be in church that we share affirmation with each other. Let that be. But that word for Mary will be tested. She's chosen the better part. It won't be taken away. And all we have to do is just go to John chapter 11. We'll go there. Go with me, please. And I'm glad you know the story so we can grab and glean from it. In John chapter 11, Jesus is not at the house. He is 2 days' journey away, or at least he's some distance away. He gets a messenger, arrives and says, your friend is ill. And his sisters are saying, please, you need to know. It's serious for Lazarus. And when you read those opening verses of John 11, if I were to pass out paper today and just simply say, okay, here's the setting. Jesus, he's already, he's made a great commitment to that household. So he's the brother. He's very ill. Sisters have had confidence and have sent the message to connect the crises to the Christ. Yes, yes, yes. They did the right thing. So empty piece of paper, fill in what you feel Jesus did. Now, you're thinking, I know how he operates. He sends the word and he heals them. Maybe that's the one he'll use this time. Maybe he'll get up and go quickly. So he went with Jairus to the house when there was a crisis. Bible says, state, do you need to sneeze? Because that would be interruptive otherwise. That was quite dramatic there. Yeah, okay, it's all right. If I say it again and you sneeze, though. Okay. The word of God says, this would not be on the paper of anyone in this room. Stayed where he was. What? You're not supposed to respond that way. God. You don't, come on. You don't fail to respond when your friends have an urgency. Your Bible says that stayed where he was, but it also says he loved them. And you're going, okay, which one is it? Is it love or is it lack of divine response? Someone did need to hear that in the room. How do you harmonize that? What do you do about that? What do we do about that? Do we even remember the prophecy that he gave us? You've chosen the better part. It won't be taken away. Do we get that prophecy back out? And does it become tear-stained and either the muffins are done or I'm supposed to be through preaching? Don't interrupt. Interesting. God, you know the story well. They've already had the funeral by the time Jesus arrives. Oops. No, not only does he not come in time, he doesn't bother to show up for the funeral. I can see them. The picture is vivid in the word. They're with people who have come to comfort them. And Martha gets the message. He's coming. He's outside. He's close. He's not right at the house yet, but she gets up and goes there. It's very interesting, Martha. She goes there and she has a conversation with Jesus. I hear people sometimes say, "It's all right, you just tell God what you think." Now, oops, I looked at you again. If you want to, you can move to another chair. I'm sorry. And while that is true, there's something that I hear when they say that causes me to be concerned. Martha has a conversation, turns around, heads back in. Now, there is, in John 11, you can find it later. Because remember, the buzzer's already rung and I'm hurrying, okay? And when she goes back in and she says to Mary, she calls Jesus the teacher. I don't know for sure, but she might be sarcastic. You know the one that you said, his ways will be my ways. There's a grave, you know, brother dead. Jesus didn't come. Your teacher's here. I can't prove that. But I can read that she refers to him as the teacher. This is very, very important, and Holy Spirit emphasized this so much. The Bible says, could I borrow your Kleenex? That was a great, I every time we got to that one part of the song, I could feel the tremors on my side of the table. So the Bible says that when Mary heard that Jesus was nearing, she got up and they just got up and they grabbed the Kleenex box. That's not in the verse, okay. But it says that they knew, they took for granted that she was on her way to the grave to grieve. And she just surprises them all because she doesn't respond in the natural way. Everybody would anticipate. They would expect her to get up and head to the grave. She gets up all right, but she doesn't head to the grave. She ends up at the feet of Jesus. When she's at his feet, it's actually, I believe, a very bold statement. We sing that song again. I believe it's a solid statement. I haven't withdrawn my choice, my commitment. I'm not sure about your commitment to me, but I'm not reneging on mine to you. It's very interesting. Mary says the same words as Martha, almost verbatim. Martha has a conversation. Mary has a miracle. What's the difference? When she is at his feet, there is brutal honesty. There is a broken heart. But there is a submitted spirit. By virtue of the fact she's back at his feet, it's a renewal of commitment. We sang some powerful words this morning. We sang words that if God takes you up on the deal, I won't be satisfied with the ordinary. The ordinary would send you to the grave to grieve. The extraordinary sends you to his feet. You know what happens next. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a dress rehearsal for the resurrection. They go, Lazarus, come forth. He does. Martha is there too. It's very interesting. Martha's words are like, I need to tell you why this is not a good idea. And Mary is a full participant. I've been with both crowds. Okay, let me just tell you, I've been with both crowds. Jesus goes with Mary. Lazarus is raised from the dead. The Bible says glory was manifest. Mary has had two prophecies in her life thus far. Won't be taken from you. Second prophecy, this will not end in death, but in glory. So far, Jesus is being totally accurate. The third time happens a little later in the chapter. You know this one. The crowd, they're having dinner, and the house is packed. And the Bible clearly says that part of the people crowded into the living room. Part of them are there because they want to see somebody that was dead for 4 days. What does it look like? Well, a little pasty there, but that's what it says. They wanted to see him. The other group wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, first thing we're going to do is divide the house. He is so gracious. Have you noticed that? So you know what happens. Mary comes in. She anoints his feet. They worship. She is worshiping this time. And that the first time Mary's relationship was tested because there was not the celebration from people that mattered to her. Second time, she's being tested by God not doing what she felt God should do. The third time, we're a little surprised. You'd think everybody would just be, woohoo! Instead of that, there is a voice that just, it's grumpy, raises up, and the voice is identified for us. It's Judas. We'll be hearing a lot about him this week. And he just says, what waste. Spirit of God is just thick in this place. Prophetic presence. And Mary is, she's at his feet. It was expensive. What she poured out was really expensive. Why did you do that, Mary? We'll find out in a minute. Jesus speaks up, but not before the Bible inserts this important bit of information. The Bible says, don't forget the songs you sang this morning. The Bible says the reason Judas spoke up. He had no interest in the poor. He was the treasure. I'm going to close my eyes now because I got in trouble looking at you before. I don't know who the treasure of the church is, okay? The Bible says he used to help himself. I don't know where those buckets are, but they were perfect. So if I said to you, you know, I discern right now there is a Judas in this room. You know, you'd all go, where did they find this lady? And I hope they never have her back. However, I am personally challenged. Because if I say to me this morning, Judas was in it. There's lots of stuff in here. For what he could get out of it. Then I'm personally challenged. Am I in it for what I get out of it? Am I in ministry? Am I in it for what I get out of it? Am I in it as far as being a follower of Jesus for what I get out of it? Do you know how you can tell? Is if there is the seeming lack of getting out of it what I want. I'm no longer in it. Somebody say, ouch. And I've met those people. It was going well as long as the blessing part was happening. The gentleman that gave the offering, yeah, right, but I want a refund on my tithe. So I'm not going to say this morning it's somebody wearing a blue. Everybody, did I wear blue today? No. But I am suggesting there is Judas potential in every person in this room, whether Reverend is in front of my name or not. That when I read this passage, I say, God, am I in it for what I get out of it? And you might say to me, are you ever tested in that? No. I'm so challenged. Last night I was challenged because part of the voices outside of Lazarus' grave had said, he could have, you know, and he didn't. There are people. I don't have time to tell maybe a story about that, but there's people that have said to Jack and I, you guys have the balance on the mortgage does not indicate that you used your life well. Looks to me like you wasted a lot of years. Looks to me that waste. Jesus, I read it again last night. Jesus just turned. He buffered that whole thing. He stood right between that accusation of waste. People have, some of you in the room have had people that mattered to you tell you you're wasting your life to follow Jesus. Jesus' commentary was, she did it because she knows who I am. And now your Bible says, the next day, when Mary poured out that very, 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 very expensive perfume, the Bible said it was strong enough that the fragrance filled the whole house. But I'm just kind of wondering if the next day is the donkey rode through the crowd, Jesus on the donkey. If maybe somebody went, I think I just smelled a fragrance. I can't prove that. But I suggest today that Jesus said, she's at my feet wasting things because she knows who I am. She knows that I'm going into a grave, and she knows I'm coming out to change the world. Every sacrifice, every cause is not worth how many thousand Canadians? 4,000 died at Vimy Ridge. 5,000. Let me say today, there are people that are evaluating today, poo-hooing it all, just saying, I wish they'd stop talking about it on television. And they're saying, that was a waste. One reason they've got high schoolers there, 10,000 high schoolers from Canada are there. And one reason is that they want them to be able to identify what it takes to be able to live in the Canada we live in right now. Price. Sacrifice. Our world doesn't do well with that stuff. And I'm so amazed because this week, hearing some of the stories of the high schoolers were having to deal with the fact that they are just about the same age as most of those whose names have been read out today. I say to us today, this isn't a patriotic message so much as it is a kingdom message, that when it's all done, no cause is worth your sacrifice, but obedience to your Jesus is worth any price you will pay. I've had people come to me and say, so... And all I can say, you know how much it costs to fly over there, don't you? Do you know? You do realize that you had to buy a bunch of U.S. money to go, and it was at the worst. No, that none of those are the computations that I want to look at. I want to look at. Did he send me? Did he send us? Then our obedience to him could and should and was poured out at his feet. Father, I thank you for your people today. I thank you, Lord, for disciples in this room. I thank you, Lord, and when we sang things today like not the ordinary, that we sang today things like, I'm in it because of you, it's you, it's you, Jesus. Father, we realized that we were cutting across the grain of not just modern thought in Canada in 2017. We were cutting across the grain of our own flesh. Father, you are trustworthy of the decision Mary made. You are worthy of her words at your feet. And you are worthy of the total sum of what was poured out. And so, Father, we celebrate you today. And we worship you. And Lord, we right now reach to you. And if you're with me in this, and we reach up toward you and do a physical act of receiving a fresh measure of empowering grace. Would you do that? Would you join me in that today? I reach toward you, Lord, to receive a fresh empowerment by your grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't tell time very well. We're good.
Well, I think I got about 15 little mini messages out of that. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit really ministered this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give praise to the Lord for Peggy this morning. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. So we're going to break and we're going to have some a meal together. And if you would like some specific prayer, we will be here and be happy to pray with you. Please check out their book table, purchase something, and enjoy each other's fellowship. Affirm one another today. Amen. Love one another and bless each other today. Amen. Peggy, thank you so much. I should be saying Reverend Peggy, but thank you. We appreciate it very much. Amen. So God bless you, and we'll get the food set up momentarily.